Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel. It's a great blessing to be able to give praises to the Most High in the little sanctuary that he has set for his people. My name is Morey Obadiah Israel. I am a giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel. I'm a teacher here at the House of Israel, located in 1907 Vine Street, alongside with my brothers, Morey Isha Yisrael, Morey Neftali Yisrael, and the senior Morey here at the House of Yisrael, Morey Ishaya Ben Yisrael. I'm standing in for Morey Ishaya this evening, bringing you nothing but the truth. And we're giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Yisrael, whose name alone is Yahweh. And who is Yah? Well, Yah is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Yah is our lawgiver. Yah is our judge. And Yah is our king. And it's Yah that will save us. And Yah is the savior of Israel, the only savior of Israel and the world today. And today, I attempt to bring you a message based off the meditations that the Most High has given me today. Yesterday, we dealt with truth and seeking the truth and what it means to really seek after the truth. Well, today, we're going to get right into another topic inspired by the Most High. And the topic that was inspired by the Most High is recorded in the book of Jeremiah, the second chapter. And shalom to all of our family and listeners via the internet. I know that the only reason why you're listening and tuning in is because of your fear towards the Most High. So praise the mighty Yah. In Jeremiah, the second chapter and the 14th verse, it reads, "Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled?" And this is what I'm going to deal with today, because this is the question that I'm asking to the world today. Are we servants or are we slaves? Are we homeborn slaves or are we just plain slaves? Was we brought here for servitude and torture? Were we created so that we can just be the tail and not the head? Why are we in these positions and predicaments that we are in today? Is Israel a servant or a homeborn slave? And in doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, the Most High has given us an answer to who we are. He has given us an answer to our identity. And throughout this message today, we're going to find out exactly who we are. But as it says in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, if you turn with me there, and in Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, it reads that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But with all thy getting, get an understanding. So wisdom is always going to be the chief thing. Wisdom is going to always be the thing that we search for. But even with wisdom, we have to have understanding. We have to have the understanding and why we are in these predicaments that we are in today. Why are we in this plight that we suffer from today? Why are the conditions seem to be only applicable to a certain people on the face of this earth? And the truth of the matter is, it will make you think, or you will be under the impression, that you were just born to be a slave. You were just born to be in the position of servitude to your enemies, and to have these people rule over you with an iron fist and do cruel things to you. And one day their heart's going to soften up and they will become so compassionate that they will say, "We're sorry for what we've done. We're sorry for afflicting you. We're sorry for all of this atrocity that we've done unto you. Now it's time for us to make you our equal." But was this ordained by the Most High? Is this what the Most High said what happened to his people? Well, let's get the understanding to see if Israel is a servant or a slave. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 64th verse. And the 64th verse reads, "And Yahweh shall scatter thee amongst all people from the one end of the earth, even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other deities, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And amongst these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But Yah shall give thee there a trembling heart, and a failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. And in the morning thou shalt say, would Elohim it were even. And at even thou wilt say, would Elohim it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And Yahweh shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now, whether you go by the religion of Christianity or the religion of Islam, or whether you say there is no Elohim, most people that look like us would attest that this is the truth. Most people would attest that this is the bondage that our forefathers were brought into. And this bondage and this hardship and this slavery and all of this turmoil, it just passed from generation to generation to generation till we're in this generation today, and we've lost all touch of our identity. We've lost all traces of our heritage. Now we think we're just voting Americans. We think that we just have to deal with the oppression and put a man that has the intent to be even less oppressive upon his people, and that he's going to save us. But we just read, the Most High said, no man shall buy you. So no man is going to redeem you. No man is going to save us from this turmoil that we've been placed in. And these very things that we've been placed in has been based off the actions that we have decided to make. But we serve the true and living Elohim. This is how you know that the book of Yah, the words of Yah, wasn't scribed by a man. In the term of, it wasn't a man that sat and said, I'm going to enslave a people for a certain amount of time, and then I'm going to write a book on how they're going to get their redemption, how they're going to get salvation. And I'm going to create a timetable so they're going to know precisely when they was brought into slavery and about precisely when they coming out of it. No, all you have to do is just look at who you in the midst of today and who's trying to redeem you from your oppression. Who's trying to save you from your troubles? Who's trying to stand in the gap and make sure that the downtrodden and the oppressed be let go and set free? None of these nations are standing for that. Matter of fact, they're celebrating your oppression. They're celebrating our enslavement. They're celebrating our people being murdered. They're celebrating babies being cut out of mother's stomach. They're celebrating feet and hands being chopped off. They're celebrating public hangings. They're celebrating this. They're not trying to relieve us from no type of oppression. That's the reason why you have the New Testament. That's the reason why you have the Quran. That's the reason why you have Egyptology. All of these lands and these strange gods that they've put before us, all they do is keep us in oppression. And what they do is they try to make you comfortable with dealing with oppression. But the true and living Elohim, he doesn't deal like that at all. This is how the true and living Elohim deals with us. If you turn with me to Exodus, the third chapter. And in Exodus, the third chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 8th verse. And it reads, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, to the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is what the Most High has done for his people. And it says in verse 11, and Moses said unto Elohim, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, ye shall serve Elohim upon this mountain. So the Most High had a plan of redemption. When the Most High seen that our people were being captive and being placed in hard bondage and was being turned into bondmen and bondwomen, and they were slaying the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel, the Most High said that this bondage was so deafening. The Most High said, I hear your cries. And the Most High, the first resolution that the Most High came to, he said, I'm going to place you in your own land. And Yahweh is the only Elohim that give us a plan of salvation where we independent from any of these nations upon the face of the earth. Yahweh separated the children of Israel from any nation on the face of this earth. And the Most High is the only creator that has a plan of salvation for his people that doesn't involve you staying in captivity, that doesn't involve us being a part of captivity and getting along and just being used to being downtrodden, used to being beaten. These things are just for a time in the season, these punishments and these curses. And this is why it's important for us to know time. That's why this is important for us to know the truth and seek after Yah so we can learn to number our days. Because these things that's happening to our people, they're not forever. And this is the plan that the Most High had from the beginning. The Most High said this in Genesis, the 15th chapter, if you turn with me there. And in Genesis, the 15th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 13th verse. And it reads, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. See, Yah has had a plan, knowing that we was going to be brought into captivity, knowing that we was going to be in the house of our bondage. And the Most High gave a certain time that we were going to be in this bondage. And the Most High didn't say, you're going to be in captivity for 401 years, 415 years, 500 years, 600 years. The Most High was very specific. He said 400 years. And he said that we shall be a stranger in the land that is not ours. So you know that we don't buy a part of this American dream where we just think that we just citizens of this United States and that we have the rights and the Constitution on our side. And when atrocities happen, all I have to do is go to my local senator or go to my local governor or go to the city council and they're going to seek out justice. No, because we strangers in this land and they don't show us no type of favor. That's the reason why you can look on the news and you can see brothers being arrested for just sitting in a coffee shop, not causing any trouble, not bringing any ruckus, not even speaking loudly. But just the fact that they in the coffee shop, they get arrested. You can see where two women dressed in military uniform be in a restaurant and be harassed by patrons that was leaving the restaurant. They're grabbing at them, they're hitting at them, trying to knock the camera out of their hand, talking to them very violently. And they said, well, we just was appalled at the fact that y'all were homosexuals. Well, I thought this land strived on homosexuality. I thought they said that this was a right. They said that this was a privilege. But you can see when, and they die for the military. They always walk up, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being a troop. But yet when they look like you, all of that is cast to the side. When they look like me, all of that doesn't matter. Because you're a stranger in the land that's not yours. And they know that you don't belong here. They know that we don't belong here. And they know that we're here for a certain time, amount of time. And they're going to get all of the oppression on us that they possibly can. But Yahweh is the only Elohim that has the plan of salvation for his people. And the Most High is going to redeem his people. And the Most High says this in Genesis, the 15th chapter. No, in Genesis, the 12th chapter, if you turn with me there. Because our people are under the impression that we're going to make peace here, that we could turn America into the land of milk and honey here, that we can just be prosperous here, and we don't have to seek that good land that the Most High promised to our forefathers. Well, the Most High has something different to say, because this is what he instructed our forefather Abraham to do. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, starting at the first verse, it reads, "Now Yah has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So all you have to do is look and see, are all the families of the earth blessed? No, because they're cursing you and I. Are all the families of the earth prospering? No, they're not, because they're not blessing you or I. The only way that they're getting, the only way that they have any type of prosperity, the only way that they have any type of riches is they have fully invested in our oppression. They have fully invested in our affliction. But the Most High always has a plan, an exit strategy. The Most High told Abraham to get out of his parents' house, out of his own country, unto a land that he would show. So the Most High always has an exodus for his people. The Most High never has a plan to say, I'm going to make a peaceful land in the land of your captivity. Now, the Most High can make it peaceful there while we're there, but you best believe he has an exit strategy. But these nations that's in the midst of us today, and these nations that rule over us today, they have rechanged the narrative, because they know who the chosen of Yah is, and they know who the chosen of Yah is not. They know that they're not the chosen of Yah. But if they can have us to the point to where we are so destroyed that we don't even know who we are, you know, these nations can just infiltrate and behave themselves as if they're the chosen. And it all started in the book. It all started with the two nations that has the most grudge against the nation of Israel. If you turn with me to Genesis, the 18th chapter. Genesis, the 18th chapter, that's not where I was trying to go. I believe that's Genesis, the 17th chapter. If you go, we'll be there. Genesis, the 17th chapter. And in Genesis, the 17th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 16th verse. And it says, I will bless her and give her son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. King of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And Elohim said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Yitzchak. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make of him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, and with Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. So you see that Ishmael got a blessing. Ishmael had 12 princes, but Yah didn't establish his covenant with Ishmael. And out of this, a lot of animosity has been drawn, because those are the people that's trying to take claim of the land today. And the Most High said this in Genesis, the 25th chapter, if you turn with me there. In Genesis, the 25th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 20th verse. And it says, and Isaac, Yitzchak, was 40 years old when he took Rebekah the wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Yitzchak entreated Yah for his wife because she was barren. And Yahweh was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? Like, if I got, like, this is a blessing. I got fruit in my womb, but why is there so much turmoil going on within me? And Yah said, she went to inquire of Yah. And Yah said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So now you starting to see who paints the narrative of our oppression. Because the Most High has established it again and said you got two different manner of people in your womb, two different nations. And the elder is going to serve the younger. And this is, obviously, this is speaking about Yaakov and his brother Esau. And you know what, if you're familiar with the story of what happened with Yaakov and Esau, Yaakov got the blessing. Esau got a blessing, but he didn't get that establishment of covenant. And you have turmoil going on this very day. That's why it says this in Psalms 83, if you turn with me there. And in Psalms 83, and the first verse, Psalms 83 and 1 reads, keep not thou silence, O Elohim. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Elohim. For lo, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent, meaning they in one with this. They deem this as a truth, because they said, look, we don't care about any of our differences. We can come together in this one consent, and we can all agree to this. And they say they are confederate against thee. And then what are the names, the first two names that pop up? The Tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes. So you see the first two tabernacles are the first two tabernacles to rise up against Israel as a nation, to cut them off from being a nation. You see there's the first two people that that didn't get a covenant of Yah established with them. And they grew very envious. And they grew very angry at this because they felt like it's supposed to be me. So the moment that Israel was snatched out of the land and brought into captivity, the moment where we had our names taken away from us and our heritage taken away from us, and they were chopping your arms off if you were attempting to read because they were afraid that you would grab this book called the Old Testament and start reading about your history. And they had money invested in this. They had armies invested in this. They had troops invested in this. And it's all to cut you off from being a nation. And the two nations that conspire to do this are the two nations whom the covenant was never established with. So, and then who happens to be in control of the media today? A lot of this Edomites. Who's dominating the world today and who has a lot of riches? The Ishmaelites. So, yes, if you let them paint the narrative, oh, we are slaves. That's all we are, just slaves. We were brought here to be slaves. We're going to die slaves. And if you want any type of heaven, you're going to have to die and get it because you sure not going to get it on earth. That's the narrative that they want to paint because they know they're not a part of the covenant. They know that they got a blessing, but it wasn't good enough for them. See, and Yah shows his genius and why he established his covenant with whom he established it with. Ishmael still got blessed. Esau still got the blessing, but it wasn't good enough. And this is why the Most High gave us a commandment not to covet. Not to covet. That means what's my brother's blessing is his blessing. What's my sister's blessing is my sister's blessing. And what's my children's blessing is their blessing. If y'all done gave them an individual blessing, that's their blessing. I'm not saying, man, I got to come up on that. I got to see how I can get in on that. No. If I want a blessing, then I got to do the works. And y'all bless me as an individual. He may bless my household and include us all in this particular blessing. But we're not going to covet because you see what happened. This anger was stirred up and they were angry and they were upset that they couldn't get this blessing of this covenant that Yah established with our forefathers. That's why the Most High said, I'm the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Israel. And this is the name that they're trying to get cut off. But like I said, if you let them paint the narrative, if you let your enemies paint the narrative, then you would think that you're just a slave. But what does Yah have to say about the matter? Yah done already established that he planned on bringing his people into their own land. And you know what else the Most High has established? Not only is he going to bring his people into their own land, but he's going to also bless his people with their own government. So you don't have to worry about the Declaration of Independence being up under it because it wasn't written for you in the first place. You don't have to worry about these amendments that got to keep meeting up to extend them for you because they wasn't intended for them to be for you in the first place. But Yahweh had us in mind from the beginning. And the Most High said, I'm going to give you your own government. And I'm going to give you a righteous king that's going to rule in this government because he's going to rule in my word and he's going to rule in my name. And this is the government that Yah going to set before us. If you turn to Psalms, the 89th division. And in Psalms, the 89th division, I'm going to start reading at the 20th verse. And it reads, I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, and with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him, and the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the sons of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and the plague and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my Elohim, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. And mercy will I keep him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. And it said, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. You have a government being set up right here by Yahweh. And he didn't say nothing about this king would do 4 years, and then you got to wait 4 more years and put another king in. No. This king is set. This is a king that the Most High said has a heart like unto himself. This is King David. And in none of this is Psalms 89 do you read that somebody had to die, do part one of the mission, die to come back, and then later on finish the mission. No. This is already going to be, and it's already being established as I'm speaking right now. And Yah said this in the 35th verse, just so you can have strong confidence in your Elohim. He says, once I have sworn by my holiness, then I will not lie unto David. So you can bet your last dollar and your last pennies, the laces in your shoe, that King David is going to rule. Because Yah said he's not going to lie unto David. And this is what Yah's servant, this is what we're looking for. I don't care who's in the White House. I don't care who has a slick tongue. I don't care who says that they're going to bring us any type of salvation. If it's not King David and he's not coming in the name of Yah with the word of Yah, then you saying absolutely nothing. Because I know that you only stand for my oppression. And you hustling me because you have a benefit in me and my people being oppressed. This is how you know that the people that's over there in the land of Israel, people that they portray on television or that they portray in books as being the original people of the land. Look at all the chaos and turmoil that's going over there. All type of bombs being set off. Jerusalem doesn't get along with Israel. Israel doesn't get along with Syria. They don't get along with Lebanon. They don't get along with nobody around them. Their hand is just set. They got enemies all around. And then you have this foolish president sending out bombs over there in Syria via tweet. This man didn't even have the common courtesy to even strategize and say this is too important to be on social media bragging about what I'm going to do. He on social media saying, yeah, we're about to send bombs. So you know that this is not the people that's over there, nor is this the king that's set up that's going to bring any type of salvation to your people, to me, to my people, to my household, to my family, to my friends, to my kindred. None of these people going to get salvation from these enemies. All they doing is standing for our oppression. All they doing is just standing for the torturing of our people. But do you think that Yahweh considers you a slave? Do you think that Yah's calling us a homeborn slave? Well, let's see. If you turn with me to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. And in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, and the first verse, it reads, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, did the Most High say, my slaves, whom I uphold? No. Yahweh calls us his servants. It says, whom he delights in. And if you want to establish it, then all you have to do is go right over to the 43rd chapter. Because you may say, well, maybe Obadiah, that's maybe a slip of the book. Establish it. Well, go right to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and read the 10th verse. And it says, ye are my witness to say of Yah, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and besides me, there is no Savior. So, Israel, we don't have to ask ourselves, are we a servant or are we a slave? We are a servant, and we just in the snares of captivity. We just have been brought down to be bondmen and bondwomen. But this is not the role that your Elohim has set for you.
That's gonna lead you as a servant. He's called honor. But y'all sat there and said, look, who was he preparing me to? Who was he liking me to? I done gave you my name. I done gave you my law, statutes, and judgment. I done gave you a land. I done gave you everything you have a nation building started here. What is it that you want? Why did you turn your back to me and go serve these idols? They don't even breathe. They don't even talk. They can't save you at all. They can't move unless you move. They don't speak, so you got to speak for them. And that's what our people have put their stock in today, serving a bunch of idols that promise them nothing. And then you wonder why we are enslaved today. You wonder why we are in church today. Why we don't know who we are? Because we refuse to hearken to the word of the God. And he's given us the way of instruction. He's given us the way of life. And all y'all is saying, wake up. Wake up. Y'all saying this. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. And in Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, I'm going to read the first and second verse. And it reads, Awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Yah saith, for thus saith Yah, ye have sold yourself for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. So Yah doesn't know that we already have been oppressed. And no matter how much you put Oprah in front of the camera, or Jay-Z in front of the camera, or any other celebrity, we haven't collectively been empowered enough to buy ourselves out of this bondage. Because Yah know that he's going to place us in the land of our oppression. And the Most High has let us know, I redeemed you without money. So you don't have to pay me because I've already redeemed you. All you have to do is shake the dust off of yourself. Shake the dust off of ourselves so that we can return unto God, our Elohim, and serve him in truth and in righteousness. Serve him because Yahweh is forever merciful, and Yah's ways are judgment. And know that Yah has put this oppression upon his people forever. Know that this is just a time and a season because you are Yah's servant. And Yah calls us the apple of his eye, in whom his soul delighteth. The Most High calls us his elect. And the Most High says that we have to return unto him, and then he can return unto us. It says this in Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And in Isaiah, the 48th chapter, I'm going to start reading this in 17th verse. And it reads, thus saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am God of Elohim, which teacheth thee the prophet, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should know. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been. been as a river, and thy righteousness the waves of the sea. Thy seed also has been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name shall not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before thee. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldean with a voice of singing. Declare ye, tell ye, utter it even to the ends of the earth. Say ye, Yahweh have redeemed his servant, Yaakov. And they thirst not when he led them through the desert. He called the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave to the rock also, and the waters gushed out. And then it says, there is no peace, saith Yah, unto the wicked. So if you pray and you seek it redemption, you seek it freedom, you seek it restitution, then all you have to do is seek Yahweh. Because he's already redeemed. And the most I say, you would have been the most blessed and continue to be the most blessed people on the face of this earth if only you would have hearkened to my commandments. If only you would hearken to Yah's word. Because God has gave us everything that is pivotal to our life. We have a land. We have an identity. We have a dietary law. We have a law on how we conduct ourselves with one another. We have laws governing how we ought to be husbands and wives and how we should raise our children. Everything that pertains to life and us being the prosperous nation, God has given us. So you're not a slave. And you don't have to continue with the slave mentality that your enemies have placed on you to think that you were only meant to be in the house of bondage, because your creator says this in Exodus 20th chapter. Turn over here. In Exodus 20th chapter, in the very first verse, it says, and Elohim can call these words saying, I am Yahweh by Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. Why we don't have no Elohim before us? Because what other Elohim? What other power has brought us out of the land of our bondage? That brought us out of the land of our captivity? That's just given us an identity. You know it's not Christianity, because you can walk up to a Christian and say, well, what's your real name?
Well, my name is Jones. It's Johnson. It's Smith. It's, well, who's the call?
All types of names that don't belong to no creator. It was just given to you by your body. You go walk to a Muslim and say, well, what's your real name? And they said, well, we're from the tribe of Shabbat. Well, what's your real name? They took our name. So now we call ourselves X. See, that's what we for a son of God, when y'all call himself X anything. We know what our names are. My name is Obadiah ben Israel. I'm a servant of God. And the name Israel means as a prince who has power with Elohim and with man and has prevailed. That's your name. That's the meaning of your name. That's your name. So be strong. Be bold. Be courageous. And take it back. Because you are not a slave, you are a servant. And you are a servant of Yahweh. And with Yah going before you, and with Yah being the Elohim, there's nothing that we can do. That's why the Most High said, is that anything is too hard for me. This thing is too hard for me. This may be things that's too hard for you. But there's nothing too hard for our Elohim. That may water fly out of the plant of the rock. That makes manna rain down from heaven. That makes birds just fall out of the sky well for our people to eat because they lusted after meat. Yah will give you the desire, but we have to seek Yah in righteousness. And we have to seek Yah in truth. And what the truth is that we are not slaves. We are just captives in a land that perpetuates slavery and has made us slaves. But our position is a servant of Yahweh. And this is all we have to do in the state of the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter. And in Exodus,
the 15th chapter. Let me see if that's what I'll. Well, the testimony that I'm going to give is in the book of Exodus, the 15th, the 14th chapter. I just can't find a particular verse right now. But it's when all the people was crossing over the Red Sea. Verse 13. Okay, there we go. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 13th verse. And it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will show for you in the day for the Egyptians whom ye see. This day ye will see them again, no more forever. And then it says in the 14th verse, Yah shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So all of our people thinking that we're going to try to go around and show Yah we're going to be brought home by knocking heads off. Are we going to have to get into a massive shootout to show y'all we're ready to go home? No. Y'all require that which is past. All we have to do is just stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. And y'all redeemed his people out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And God will redeem us out of the house of bondage. That's why I say it will be said no more that Yahweh saved and lived that brought us the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Yahweh lived that brought us the children of Israel out of the land of the north. So just how God redeemed our people then, he will redeem our people again, but in a much greater form. Because this thing is going to take precedence to show you that you are Yahweh's servant and you are not a slave. So shake the dust off of you. Take the shackles off of your hands. Take the yoke of bondage from off of your neck and turn towards your fellow Elohim and stop learning the ways of these heathens and stop letting these heathens dictate to you on how to get salvation. Your Elohim has already given us the plan for salvation, and that's to turn to him and be obedient to him and to hearken to his word and to walk after his way, because that is how a servant conducts himself. That's how a servant is meant to be. That is who God raised you up to be. That's why we have a book of instruction. That's why we have the book of the law. This is why we have testimony, so that you can see that you are indeed a servant and not a homeborn slave. So wake yourself up, Israel, and let's gather ourselves together and seek the truth and live in Elohim, whose name alone is Yahweh, our power, our Elohim, our God, and our strength in the day of our weakness and the redeemer of our affliction and oppression. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you, and so do we at the house of Israel. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation, I'm staying down and patient as a
child.